2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 3. And let's go ahead and stand, if you would, just for a moment. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and I'm going to read 3 through 7 here. Is this on? This doesn't seem to be. That's on. Okay. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3. It says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings, which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the suffering, so shall ye also be also of the consolation." Let's pray. Father, thank you for this evening. And Lord, as we gather around your table, I ask that you'd make it a true blessing and encouragement to each one of us. Thank you for what you've done for us in Christ. Thank you for the opportunities you have for us to serve and to just be grateful for all that you've done. We pray that we would be. Lord, bless our time now here tonight in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Of course, what we read, you probably noticed comfort was in there a lot. And just thinking about comfort in the sense of, remember, it's not just wiping the tears. It's strengthening us to carry on in whatever God would have us to do in the days ahead. And so Paul here at the very beginning, and I think what we have to understand when it comes down to those personal comfort, those feelings that we want to sense, hey, we're secure, we're set, we can face whatever's ahead, that it always starts where Paul starts it here in verse number 3, is with God. And when our focus or our understanding of God is off base, then it can mess everything up. And I thought with Yvonne's testimony here, what she said about this girl, that, you know, her understanding of God was really skewered, and, or I don't know if I said that right, but off base and not where it needed to be, and then you pursue it from there. And so a lot of times we, in our responses to life and our situations, can be off base because our thoughts of God or our concept of God is off base. So notice again what he says here in verse 3. "Blessed be the God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." And then the next two statements, "the Father of mercies." And I think that points to God's heart. As our Father through Christ, that there is a heart he has for us. There's a heart that he has that cares for us. And I think when we're thinking of God, that I think we need to stop a moment and say, hey, I understand the heart of God. God's not absent. God is for us. And he cares for us intensely. And it's interesting. I'm just right now going through, I've just started Ezekiel last week and just got through, you know, Isaiah, Jeremiah. And one of the things, though, those prophets often speak of judgment. They often talk also about God's care and God's compassion. And so we need to understand God's heart there. And then I think the second thing speaks of God's heart or his actions reaching out to us. And it says, "and the God of all comfort." So he is our Father in Christ, and his heart is for us, filled with mercy and compassion. And then the God of all comfort. He's there to meet our needs, whatever that need happens to be. And so whatever we're going through at the present time, understand that God wants to strengthen us. I know I've said it over and over again, but I still think it's really neat. Comfort, come, and the idea of in Latin means with, and then fort, fortress, it's strength. So God wants to give us the strength we need. With strength, that is comfort. So we can carry on and meet whatever needs we have for tomorrow or face whatever we're facing tomorrow. And so notice what he goes on. So with that thought in mind, God has a heart for us, and in that heart for us, he wants to give us what we need so we can carry on. And I think primarily it's ministry, but I think there's all of life here could be included. So verse number 4, he says, "This God of mercy and comfort, he comforteth us in all our tribulation, in all our troubles, that we may be able to comfort them also, be able to comfort them which are in any trouble." And so God, it's almost like this. Okay, God, I know what God's like, and God has met my needs so that I can turn around and meet your needs. And I just think it's really neat. As he had a right, he said, you know what? I understand the heart of God. And because I understand that heart of God, let me minister to you. And I understand the things God does because he's done it to me. I know there was a situation, you know, I was in this, and God met my needs this way, and he strengthened my heart, and he strengthened me in that situation. And so we go. I was thinking of this week, of Deanna, I think it was this week, and going downstairs, and one morning she said, pray for me in our staff meeting. It was the night before grades, and so she was telling me later on in school, or after the school was done, I said, how you doing? She said, I'm doing okay. She said, I was correcting this, and then I found something else, and then all of a sudden I realized it's 2 a.m. It's 2 a.m. Oh, I got to get to bed because I got class tomorrow with my kids. And so, but asked her after the day, and she said she made it through in answer to prayer. Maybe she didn't. She went to bed right after she left school and slept for 12 hours until the next morning. I'm not sure, but that God wants to help us, and he's there to strengthen us with whatever we need. And sometimes we think, okay, well, God's there to give me the mental strength I need or the emotional strength I need. But I think at times God says, I'll give you the physical strength you need. It's one thing if you waste your time and then you want him to give you strength because you got things to do and you wasted it somewhere else. But when you're going through life and just your life is worn out, you're just tired physically. I don't think there's any, by faith, I believe we need to believe that God will strengthen us in whatever way we need strengthened. And so he says, okay, I know the heart of God, and because of that, and I've experienced that, and therefore I turn around and I'm going to minister that to you. And so that's what he says in verse number 4. Come down to verse 5. And here's where what struck me when I was reading through this the other day. He says, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, and I think, again, he's speaking of suffering that was because he was serving the Lord, but I think we can broaden that out to all the sufferings of life. But the sufferings of Christ abound in us. And the next word, what's the next word? So. It's not like, so what? It's in like manner. Okay, and here's the thing that struck me. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so in like manner our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. God is saying is, hey, when you face life in its tribulation, its difficulties, and its trials, here's something you can count on. God will give you comfort. That's what he's saying. You need to believe that. That's what Paul was saying. He says, whenever this comes, so in like manner, whatever comes this way to bring me, I get something in this side. He says, So God's saying, hey, if this comes, then I want you to know you can be assured that this will come too. It's how God works. The buzzer is going off. Someone could get that. So God tells us here that as one comes, so will come the other. And folks, we can trust that. That's what God is. Why? Because he's the God of mercy. He's the God of all comfort. He has a heart for us, and he's willing to help us. So we come down to verse number 6. And he says there, for whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings, which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And I thought, boy, Paul's mental outlook is amazing. I heard the other day that with all these, what do you call a selfie where it's sort of endangering yourself, you know, where people do the selfies off the edge of the cliff, you know, or, you know, in the front of the tiger that's got his mouth wide open. I'm just joking on that one. But what do you, I don't know, they just called selfies still or stupidity. I'm not sure, what it was. Okay, so we're getting the right one. So, but here was the interesting thing. They said that there's more search and rescue missions than there's ever been over the last, maybe a couple years when people now are doing the selfies in dangerous situations. And so now there's more search and rescue teams. And I'm sure if you were on a search and rescue team, helping as a chaplain with the Chelan County Sheriff, they had a search and rescue team, and there was a couple times that I was called out. I didn't do anything. I just sort of was standing there to be a comfort to the parents and people, relatives that were there. But anytime they can practice, you know, they practice and they practice. And why do they practice what they're going to do for the people they're going to go rescue? You know what Paul looked at? Sufferings. And then the comfort that God gives, he said, you know what? This is just like practice. I get it, so I can help you. That was his mentality. And I thought, wow, that is a really selfless focus on life. That whatever I'm going through, I'm going to go through it. It's for your consolation and salvation. And whenever I get comforted, it's for your consolation and salvation. So he said, when I get hit and I'm learning the grace of God through that, then you know what that's for? That's so I can minister to someone else. It's a problem, and it shows our immaturity of our faith when all we see is that we get hit and, oh, I'm comforted. I feel better. Okay, I can make it. That was not Paul's attitude. He said, I've learned something. So I can help someone else. I learned more about the grace of God. I learned more about his strength. I learned more about his help. I've even learned a little about his suffering and how that works. So I can help someone else. And so, folks, we need to ask ourselves, Lord, help me to be, have that mentality. And really, that's the mentality of Jesus. But that Paul demonstrated. And maybe he demonstrated in that sense that we could know, hey, it's not just Jesus. It's people like Paul. It's people like you and me. And then last of all, again, that similar thought as in verse number 5, but this one's even more clear. He says, and our hope of you is steadfast, knowing. Okay, so there's my hope. I'm certain about this, and I know this as well, that as ye are partakers of the suffering, so shall ye be also of the consolation. And so Paul is so clear. He said, I know that personally, but I'm sure that you're going to have the same thing. If you know Christ and you love the Lord and you're going to serve him, be certain of this. If you get in trials, there's going to be comfort. It's going to be there. I guess maybe sometimes we just have to reach out and say, Lord, I need it. Lord, I'm coming to you. And so I just the thought here tonight is, and really all of that comes back, the reality that is God's a God of mercy and a God of all comfort. And he's that for us because of what we have in Christ. The Good Shepherd has given his life for the sheep so that we can know our God as the God of mercies and the God of all comfort. And so may that encourage us here tonight as we think about what God is doing. He's never abandoning us in our sorrows and our difficulties, our troubles, our tribulations. Never. He said, but I'm right there. Would you reach out to me in faith? Trust me. I will give you what you need. But you got to believe that. You got to trust me. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your goodness and your glory. Lord, we thank you that even the very fact that you reach down to us is great condescension. That you, in a sense of humility, reach down to help us through our life. And yet, because you are our Father, it is a great desire of yours that it's your longing to minister to your children. And Father, may we on our side do well in representing you here. Thank you for this passage that reminds us that whenever you allow difficulties and tribulations to come, especially for Christ's sake, into our lives, that the comfort for Christ's sake is also there. Father, give us that encouragement. Give us that assurance in our hearts so that when we go through those times, we do not turn ourselves into a time of greater discouragement or even doubts or questions. But Lord, help us to trust that you are the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, and you will grant those whenever we face the difficulty. Father, again, thank you for this night and the time we can gather around your table. We know that whatever experience we can have as enjoying a relationship with you, enjoying such things as this of comfort and mercy, Lord, that it comes to us through your Son. Lord, we thank you so much for that. And as we gather around your table now, I pray that you'd remind us of the greatness of our Savior. Thank you for what he's done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.